we have two scriptures today. Our first one comes from Mark chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. In those days, when there was again a great crowd without anything to eat, he called his disciples and said to them, "I have compassion for the crowd because they have been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them will come from a great distance." His disciples replied, "How can one feed these people with bread here in the desert?" Our second one is Matthew 6, chapter 6, verses 26 through 29. "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your own life span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in his glory has not clothed like one of these." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, John. Well, as we move about in our Gospel According To series, the first one that came to mind was time. Relating to time, there's an irony in my life, maybe you can relate. It's the one thing I feel like I have the least of, or at least control over, but I always feel I need more of it. Now, when I say time, I don't mean the future. I mean the present moment, the daily accounting of the hours that never quite seems to balance. Most of you don't know me. I have two vocations. I am a physician and I'm a pastor, and both are deep gifts to me. Both are deeply meaningful. And both sometimes leave me wondering, how is the math of these two things supposed to work? But there's another mystery about time that I think is even more interesting than wondering where all the time goes. Have you noticed that some moments fly by while others crawl? Like an afternoon with my kids can disappear into what feels like minutes. 30 minutes in the dentist chair can somehow feel like much, much longer for me. St. Augustine once wrote, "What is time? If no one asks me, I know. If I wish to explain it, I do not know." Now, if Augustine doesn't know what time is, I'm certainly not going to outdo him. And yet, I think there is something worth bringing into this Gospel According To series that is good news hidden in the mystery of time. Think about this. Christians believe that time itself became holy because God entered into it. God did not save us from time. He chose to redeem us through time. If God redeemed time in Jesus, then maybe time itself can become one of the ways we recognize something sacred. Let me explain this through an event that I experienced when I was in my residency training. It's formative for me, actually. So the chair of our neurology department at the University of Virginia, Dr. G.F. Wooten, you know, when someone uses two initials for their first name, it means they're pretty special. So Dr. G.F. Wooten said something about time that has stayed with me ever since, almost like a personal gospel, I would say. So here's what he said. "Whatever in your life you are doing, that is good enough that time seems to loosen its grip. Pay attention to that. Those moments may guide your future." So what he was saying is when you become so absorbed in something good that time loosens its grip, think about that. Pay attention. What does that mean? It's an intriguing thought. So I began to test it. Like, what in my life, where in my life does time seem to loosen its grip? And I'll say right away, it raised a question for me because I was in neurology residency training, which is, what if time doesn't loosen its grip while I'm a neurologist? Like, too late. But I carried his words with me and I tested them. And I've discovered he was right. I hope I can share this with you and you'll see it that way too. So for me, when I started in clinic, I thought to myself, when I'm with a patient, does time loosen its grip? Well, yeah, actually it does. That's good. That passes the Wooten test. When I was doing clinical research, no, time didn't loosen its grip. So that wasn't for me. Years later, when I found myself drawn into theology, I noticed it again. Time loosened its grip. It became another quiet confirmation that it was where I was supposed to be. And this phenomenon carried me through seminary and later embarking into pastoral ministry as a second vocation. See, Dr. Wooten was right. Sometimes time reveals something special. When we're not aware of it, it loosens its grip. Eventually, I began to notice that this wasn't just good vocational advice. Scripture seems to recognize these moments too, less by talking about losing track of time, but by describing people who became so absorbed in God's presence that time itself faded into the background. The first scripture I want to think about is from our first reading. Think about the crowds who gathered around Jesus. When Jesus was talking, they were so absorbed in his presence and in his teaching that even their own hunger came into late view. That's what Wooten was talking about, being so engaged that the clock no longer matters. And then it's Jesus, not them, who eventually says, man, these people are hungry. Let's get them something to eat. That's when the miracle feeding happened. And we rightly focus on the miracle, but yet there's another gift, time hidden inside this miracle. Before Jesus multiplied the bread, he had already given them a moment so full of God's presence that the clock stopped mattering. When we are given over to what is good, the clock becomes secondary. Now, I grew up in a home that loved Danny Kaye. Anybody here know who Danny Kaye is? Okay, we're dating ourselves, it's okay. Well, anytime a rerun of Hans Christian Andersen came up, us kids were lined up on the couch to watch it. And I'll be honest, I thought it was kind of a boring story, but there was a song in it that I found captivating, Inchworm. My mom used to sing it to us as a math song, but it's much more. It's one of these songs that loops so that there's not really an ending. And so I thought it was to continue to practice math. And you can see why. Here's the main words, if you know it. Anybody know it, by the way? Okay, you're gonna hear it, so that's okay. It's 2 and 2 are 4, 4 and 4 are 8, 8 and 8 are 16, 16 and 16 are 32. But the thing is, that's the lesser refrain of the song, which has two working in concert. Woven into those words is a melody with something else to say entirely. Inchworm, inchworm. Measuring the marigolds. You and your arithmetic, you'll probably go far. Inchworm, inchworm. Measuring the marigolds. Seems to me you'd stop and see how beautiful they are. The song quietly protests a life too measured. It suggests there is another way to inhabit time, not merely counting it, but by noticing what's around it. You know, if you've ever sat in nature and looked up to realize hours have passed by, pay attention to that. You lost track of time. If you've ever watched your own children or grandchildren or random children play and lost track of time, don't dismiss it. If you've ever read a novel and suddenly 3 hours have passed, pay attention. These moments point to something deeper. The good news of time includes this reality. Time seems to loosen its grip when we are simply being. Simply being is a gift. There is a gift in time that does not require accomplishment. Perhaps that too is grace, right? The gift that comes before anything we achieve. The world sometimes forgets to call this good news, and, you know, major confession here, I forget too. The scriptures tell time differently than we often do. Jesus says in our second reading, look at the birds of the air. And then he says, consider the lilies of the field. These are pretty unhurried words. Look, consider. Go ahead, pay attention. Let beauty become a teacher. Perhaps that is one reason the crowds could remain with Jesus for so long before they noticed they were hungry, because their attention was captured by Jesus. The clock was no longer the center. Time gave way to a sacred moment in attention to Jesus. Hunger faded. Jesus invites us into this kind of attention to stop long enough to notice beauty. I mean, how long did Jesus pray when he went to quiet places? I doubt he set a clock. You know, but for me, and maybe for you, these times of prayer when I'm trying to let go of time, they are often the place where my mind actually wanders. And then I remember everything that still needs to be done, and time resumes its pressure. But it's good to challenge that. And that's where the gospel of time comes in. The world trains us to measure time by productivity, deadlines, accomplishments. But the good news of time is that time loosens its grip when we stop this to receive it as a gift. Inchworm, inchworm, measuring the marigold, seems to me you'd stop and see how beautiful they are. And I think that's the point. I cannot define time. I still don't know what time is. But if we don't try to define it, we can recognize its goodness, its gift. So part of the gospel has to be this. Pay attention when time feels different, when it stops being a ledger and becomes a gift. As Dr. Wooten once told me, notice it. These moments may not be interruptions at all. They may be an invitation. Perhaps that is where God has been quietly inviting us all along, not away from time, but more deeply into it and the gift that it is. And to those moments when time loosens its grip and we discover what we have received was a gift. It was a gift all along. Because while the world teaches us to ask, where did the time go? The gospel teaches us to ask, where did I most fully receive time? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and now all in